Hi, and welcome to the Living Deeply Stories podcast. I'm your host, Merrell Parker, and today we have a very special guest with us, Laurie Seitz, sorry, the CEO of Zen Rabbit. She is an award-winning writer, speaker, and broadcaster, and a nationally recognized expert in using gratitude and meditation to manifest goals faster. The most difficult thing she's ever done is leave a 22-year marriage, and that experience inspired her transformation. She's now on a mission to guide Gen X's to a place of unprecedented passion, clarity, peace, and to rediscover their purpose so they can get back to a place of liking themselves and their lives again. So, hi, Laurie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so there's so many things that we could talk about. So firstly, could you just tell us where you are in the world?
Sure. I am in the state of Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay, cool. Yes, my cousin lives there, so I know where that is. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Nice. Is it changing? The leaves are changing with the autumn.
It's just starting to get a little bit cooler. Honestly, I have not been outside all day today. So I think it's cooler. I heard it's cool. It's getting a little cooler.
So my first question for you is, how did you get into gratitude and meditation, and this became your thing?
Okay, so there's two different parts there because gratitude and the meditation part started much earlier. My mom took my brother and me to a meditation course when I was 10 years old. That is now known as the Silva method. And yeah, and then I did not, so I learned it at a very young age, but then I did not use it for the next 35 years. Not consistently anyway. I would go back and I would, practice meditation for a week and then something would get in the way and years would, and then I wouldn't do it for years. And then I'd pick it up and then come back. It never was consistent. So that was for the meditation part. For the gratitude part, in 2003, I started my first business and I was making and marketing a product called the gratitude cookie. At least that's what it came to be known was as the gratitude cookie, based on a family recipe. And it was a business that I was packaging those as a way for businesses to say thank you to their clients and to people who sent them referrals. And that's when I really started studying gratitude, the power of gratitude, how you can differentiate yourself in business and all of the science and research behind gratitude and gratitude as an energy and how it affects the body, the mind, and everything, all the science and research behind it.
Oh, really? Wow. I never knew there was so much science and research behind it. I more knew it from like the spiritual world.
Yeah, now there is tons of research and science to back up the spiritual stuff.
So how does it affect the body?
It when you are practicing gratitude and you're in a grateful state, for one thing, it raises your energetic vibration. It also increases serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, those feel-good chemicals in your brain. It reduces cortisol, which is a stress hormone. It can increase creativity. It enhances emotional intelligence.
So it kind of like in enhancing creativity, it's like puts it more a wider kind of perspective rather than a narrow perspective where you're like open to more possibilities, and also in shifting your vibration in that, it then allows you to receive different thoughts. Is that how it enhances creativity?
Yeah, I think, part of it is just it because you're in a higher vibration, so gratitude is the highest vibration that you can get to up there with love. And so when you're living at this this higher, higher level, it brings in all of these other benefits.
Okay. And so is it about being grateful for what you have already, or being grateful for like what you desire before it comes? So which is the one or the other or both of them?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I was just going to add to what it's doing is it's strengthening the neural pathways in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which means it's all, so it also, it's just a couple of the other benefits. It can reduce physical pain too. There's some studies behind people who are grateful have less physical pain.
I think that's my secret.
Yeah. So, but going back to your question there, that gratitude, wait, let me back up. I was just checking on some notes here because I wanted to be able to say the right thing here about strengthening your immune system. Okay, so what was...
So my question was whether it is about being grateful for...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So it is about both.
Mm.
It is about being grateful for everything that has happened in your past. Mm-hmm. And then when you can get yourself into a state of feeling gratitude for things that have not yet manifested, as if they are already here,
yeah,
it magnetizes them to you.
Okay.
So they show up faster. I know that sounds crazy, but on an energetic level, that's how it works. It's essentially you are magnetizing them to you.
Because you're like already in the energy of having it, then.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so whenever I hear people say, I want to have, that means they're not in that energy of already having, mm-hmm. because they are in the energy of wanting.
And is it about, say you want to manifest a trip somewhere, and mm-hmm. then say you want to manifest a trip, I don't know, to France, for example,
sure.
and then you're in the energy of already having manifested that by being grateful for it. Could it be like you're experiencing different French things in your everyday life, like purposely, and then being thankful for that thing? Or how does it work?
Yeah, that's one way to help make it work and to act as if like, I am so grateful. Like just feel, it's not just saying the words. It's actually the feeling
mm-hmm.
of it. So feeling as if you are just elated to have been on this trip, to have experienced the thing. So yes, helping, like immersing yourself in it, maybe reading books about it and looking at pictures, watching movies, listening to people speaking French.
Mm-hmm.
Putting yourself in the situation, like as much as possible to feel as if you are there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then feeling the gratitude, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how lucky I am to have taken this trip.
Yeah.
It is just so beautiful. Maybe putting up pictures. I know people talk about vision boards, but putting up the pictures to give your mind like a trigger to every time you see that picture to drop into the feeling of gratitude.
Mm. Okay. And is it about like you have to say it out loud as well, so you hear it, or it doesn't matter?
You don't have to.
I
mean, if you feel like it will help, then it will help.
Okay.
Because it's all about what are you believing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so how did you use and how do you help people to use gratitude to grow your business?
Yeah, that's a big question. So there are several ways to use gratitude to grow your business. The first is that it's a differentiating factor because there are very few businesses that use gratitude, that even say thank you to their clients in a way. You know, yes, a lot of companies or businesses will say thank you, but it's almost like in passing. Like, oh, thanks for your business.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any real meaning. Or a lot of businesses send holiday cards,
mm-hmm.
you know, around the holidays as a way to say thank you for your business. But again, it's not really sincere.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I'm doing it because I feel like I have to do it. Everyone else does it. But what if you could show genuine appreciation for your clients at other times of the year? What if you took a random event in May or July and sent, and it doesn't even have to be expensive. You know, you could send a gift if you wanted to, if you were, you know, depending on the lifetime value of a client, but even a handwritten note, say, hey, I really appreciate having you as a client. I love working with you on these projects, whatever it is, really personalize it.
Yeah.
That is a major differentiating factor.
Yes, because it makes me think of this. I bought these shoes from this company called Style Runner online, and then I went to pick it up at the store, and they had like a little postcard in it that said, "Your day just got a lot better" on their style of their brand.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was a handwritten note saying like how thankful they were about, you know, like thanks for choosing us or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it was that, like, to me, that was such a positive experience, and it made me like, I'll recommend them, I'll buy from them again. So I understand what you mean by that.
Yeah. And you're telling everyone right now.
Yeah.
And you just promoted their brand.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just one thing, because it stood out for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that gratitude can help build a business. Another way is that within teams within a business, if you are a leader of a team, and a team could be a team of contractors, it could be a team of employees, it doesn't matter. Anybody who is on your team helping you build success in your business, showing appreciation for them helps strengthen those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I really appreciate what you've done for us. You know, it could be on a weekly basis, a daily basis. I remember when I was in college and working at an internship that I didn't get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would leave for the day, the principal of the agency would say, really appreciate your help today, Lori. You know, great job.
Mm-hmm.
It was another form of payment, but, you know, not money, but I still remember it because here we are, you know, decades later, and I'm sharing the story with you because it made me feel good. So if you can help people feel good and be specific about it, like a lot of times he'd be like, thanks so much for your help on, you know, stuffing the envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, whatever it was, being specific in telling somebody how you appreciate their contribution or something they said.
And I guess it's like, that, as you said, it's about the feeling behind it. So having that of being genuinely mm-hmm. appreciative of it. And then as you talked about the neural pathways, like when you start to strengthen those pathways where you see the beauty and you see the good things in your life, then you keep on seeing more, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly it. The more you focus on, what you focus on, you get more of.
Yeah.
So when you are focused on gratitude, you get more things to be grateful for. And it works on the opposite too. If you're complaining and criticizing all the time, you'll see more things to complain and criticize about. Which one feels better? Where do you want to focus your energy?
And I saw as well on your website or your Instagram that you had something about like something like fine is a four-letter word, like, so it's like, can you talk about that? And because then that's like, I want to know how you feel about expressing emotion in the manifesting process, and also so where's the balance between seeing the good and then also What about real emotions that you have to process?
Great, great opportunity for me to clarify there.
Yeah.
So, fine is a four-letter word is the name of my podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it does not, I've heard the acronyms of what FINE stands for, and it's not about that at all. It's about we walk around saying everything is fine when it's not. And that's not okay. So yes, it benefits us to live in gratitude and to see the good and to find the positivity where we can. That's not to say that you should stuff any emotions that are not the higher level emotions, stuff them away and not feel them. Because that's like holding a beach ball underwater forever, which you can't do. It's going to pop up. So feeling and having emotions and recognizing emotions, whatever they are, anywhere on the spectrum, is so important.
Yeah.
Because we are human.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever emotions you're having are valid. So we're not saying only feel gratitude, only feel love. And if you can't, then don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
It's not about that at all. It's about feeling those emotions and allowing them, because what you resist persists. So you have to feel even the emotions that don't feel good. And then a lot of people I've had on my podcast and clients have said to me that they've grown up in families that did not have emotions.
Mm.
They weren't allowed to express emotions. They didn't even know what emotions were because their families were just, you know, keep a stiff upper lip and just power through whatever it is. There's no crying here.
Yeah.
So they never learned how to have emotions. And that causes a lot of emotional and physical ailments.
Yes.
To I not express. So yeah. So we're not saying put on rose colored glasses and pretend nothing unsavory or uncomfortable exists. It's feel those emotions. And then can you get yourself to like one level higher?
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling really awful and depressed, can you take yourself up like one step, get out of bed, get dressed, maybe have some tea?
Yeah. Do you know what made me feel really grateful when I was really down and going through some major stuff? I would take myself to the shopping center, and I would just, then I would look at someone who was in a situation worse off than me, and I would feel naturally grateful. Whereas if I looked on social media, I wouldn't. I would feel resentful. But yeah, or if I watched the news as well, I did it as a practice.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be in this situation.
Okay. Normally I would say, do not watch the news under any circumstances. However, sure.
Yeah. So that did help me to get back, because then when you get back, then you're able to get to that higher position.
Yeah. Yeah. Allow yourself to feel, and then you can process through. And that's the only way really out of those feelings is to feel them, even though they feel uncomfortable. You got to feel them.
Yeah. But it's really hard to stay all day, every day, if you're not used to being like that, you know?
Yeah. So,
so that's for me. It's like, you got to feel them, and then also like focus on the positive as well.
Right. So there is a balance there. You're feeling what you're feeling. And can you also within there find something to be grateful for in the way that you were?
Yeah.
I'm grateful I got out of bed today. I'm grateful I have this warm cup of tea. I'm grateful I have eyes that I can see. Whatever it is, the smallest things, if you can celebrate, maybe celebrate is too big of a word when you're in a really deep place, but recognize these maybe considered small wins. But again, once you can just start finding little tiny things, then you'll start seeing things that are a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And you just inch by inch. Wait, do you use the metric system? Centimeter by centimeter.
Yes, we understand. It's just a phrase, so we understand it.
You can pull yourself up a little bit at a
Yeah.
time.
Okay. And so in the manifesting process, so how did you get into manifesting then? When did you first learn of manifesting and
Oh my
use
gosh.
it?
You know, I think that was part of the meditation course when I was 10 years old.
Ah.
I don't remember them using the word manifestation.
Yeah.
But what we were doing was programming our minds to attract things that, to attract things, to magnetize things to us.
So is it like in the meditation that you're visualizing, or is it that you're becoming like nobody? This I did the Joe Dispenza course.
Yep.
It's about becoming nobody in no time, you know, being
right.
The wave, not the particle. So is it like that?
I'm fascinated by that, and I'm studying that now too.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It was more about visualizing
and
becoming and yeah, the visualization and getting into that feeling of what it would be like to be in that place, like watching a movie almost,
yeah,
was the way that it was taught to us. And visualizing this scenario that you'd like to see as a movie.
Okay. And I'm into human design, and then in human design, you love human design? Okay.
Yes. I'm also studying more about that because I had mine done months ago, and then it just keeps coming up in conversations I've been having lately.
Like every single person I talk to, I end up talking about human design. So in human design, they say specific and non-specific manifestors. So for me personally, I'm a non-specific manifester in human design. And I have found over the years that like sometimes I would write out like, I'm going to do this, you know, at this certain time, whatever. And then it was just a joke. Because
you were trying to be specific.
Yes. And it didn't end up happening. But when I was just happy and enjoying my life, like crazy, amazing things happened. So what do you think about that specific, or are you a specific or non-specific, do you feel?
I don't know. In my human design, like I don't remember. I have to go back and look at it, which one I am. But I'm willing to guess that I'm non-specific. Because, so this crazy thing, as we're recording this, I am just a few weeks back from a month-long sabbatical, I'll call it. And so I took a road trip for the entire month.
Amazing.
And wasn't really working.
Okay.
Like I would check into email once in a while, but I wasn't posting on LinkedIn. I wasn't doing connection requests. I wasn't having virtual coffees or any kind of meetings.
Yeah.
And two major business opportunities came to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing business. I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
I was living in gratitude. I was living in this allowing ease and flow.
Yeah.
My phrase for 2022 was ease and flow. I set that in January, but I was not living it because I'm the kind of person who has lived for a very long time in masculine energy. Let me make this happen. And doing all the things in my business and not seeing the results I wanted. And I finally reached a point where it's like, I can't do this anymore. It's not, you know, it was kind of like, well, I'm not seeing the results I'd like to see. So let me just do more of the things that aren't working. I'll just work harder. And that was so against my human design.
Are you a projector?
No, I am a manifesting generator.
Oh, okay, good. You have energy. That's good.
I have a lot of energy, but it was wearing thin because I was doing all the things and not seeing all the results.
Okay.
And so I finally just went, all right, enough. I'm going to just take a break.
Yeah.
And that's when things started showing up.
That's like, awesome.
How I knew intellectually that's how it works.
Yeah.
But not, I hadn't, what's the word? Like incorporated it into, really felt it.
And it feels,
and now I went and proved the theory.
It feels very scary to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And weird.
Yeah.
And I'm still, now that I'm back, working on not falling back into those old habits of being on the computer for 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love that. Yeah. So the human design is really fascinating to me.
Yes. Yeah. Me too. It's been life-changing for me because I'm a projector, and that's the thing is when I try to take action and do all the right things that follow the strategy that I'm supposed to, it never works out. So it just, it's a process of deconditioning to be who you truly are energetically, and then receive those opportunities and clients or whatever it is. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was at a conference last week. I was speaking at a conference, and one of the other speakers, one of the notes I took from what she said, and she didn't get too much into human design, but she and I have discussed it. She was talking about your inner opponent and that you're listening to your inner opponent diminishes your power. This equals failing at being yourself.
Ah.
So when you are listening to that inner voice that's telling you can't do this, you are failing at being who you really are.
Yeah.
And then she went on to say that your inner opponent is loudest when you are in your element.
Ah.
You're doing the right things, being who you are supposed to be. That inner opponent, that inner critic is going to get really loud because it thinks it's trying
to protect you. That is so true. Yeah, it's trying to protect you. Yes, that is so true. Because sometimes I'm just, happy going about my day, feeling like I'm so peaceful. And then I hear this voice like, I wonder what so-and-so is doing, like some ex-boyfriend. Why are you showing up here? No, I'm not going to check. I'm not going to check on social media, it's like, why don't you just check what, and it's bringing up this stuff from the past. And I'm like, I don't care about this stuff anymore. And so there's that fight within me to not go and check that thing, because then I'm going to be, my vibration is going to be lowered into that frequency of the person who checks the ex-friend online.
Right, right. Or why aren't you doing all the things? Why aren't you, sending out 15 LinkedIn connection requests or 15, 50? Why aren't you doing the things? Why aren't you making the phone calls, the cold calls, and the writing more copy and doing more blog posts and doing, there is the place, obviously you need to do some things to run a business. But, once you've done the priorities, it's a matter of not listening to that inner voice going, okay, but you could do more.
Yeah.
You haven't done enough.
Yeah.
It's never enough. That was a big one for me.
You don't
know enough. You're not doing enough.
Yeah. That's so amazing to hear you talk about that, because that is also something I often wonder about, that inner voice and why it always comes up in those moments when you're just happy and free. And
And it's important to realize that inner voice is not who you truly are.
Mm.
It is what she calls an inner opponent.
Yeah. It's so hard because it's inside you. So it's
Well, it's a big liar. You can give it another name. If you can name it, sometimes it's easier to shut it down.
I call it the egoic self.
Yeah, but give it a name,
I don't know, Catherine or whatever.
Yeah, whatever, Oscar, whatever, something.
Yeah.
Just tell it to shut up, sit down and shut up. Take the back seat of the bus. There you go. And it makes it easier to talk to it that way, because then you realize that it is separate from you.
Okay, yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. Thank you. And so you talked about in your story on your website about how when you left the 22-year marriage that you didn't know how to have fun anymore.
Right.
And didn't know what you enjoyed. So I'm wondering how important fun and pleasure is in your manifesting process and what you do nowadays to have what you found about what you enjoy.
That was another reason why I went and did this month long sabbatical, because even we're 4 years away, 4 years out now from when I left, I still wasn't 100% sure, like, well, what is fun?
Yeah.
And a lot of my colleagues and friends, people my age have also gone to this place where, okay, I was so busy working. I didn't personally raise any children, but a lot of them have. And being this person that I thought I was supposed to be, that the opportunity for fun, again, like that work ethic I have is like must work, must work, must work. There's no time for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know what that was anymore. But what I did over the sabbatical time is that's kind of like all I was looking for. It's like, what can I do that would be fun? So I went paddle boarding, got massage, took a pickleball. Do you know pickleball?
No.
That's becoming like a really big thing. It's a racket sport, like, but it's different than tennis. It's different than racquetball or like handball. It's called pickleball.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got different rules and different court. Anyway, I took a class for that. That was kind of fun. Watched some movies. I was driving around and visiting friends and going out with them, going out to eat, going to not clubs, but to some places that had live music.
Yeah.
And just figuring out like, this is nice.
Yeah.
I went to the beach for 10 days and sat and watched the sunset every night that it wasn't. Yeah. Almost every night.
You know, if I would love to go on a road trip around America, and then I would like to go to those diners and then like feel like I'm in a movie, and then someone comes up and I order like a peach pie, and then they come up and say more coffee, you know, like that would be my experience of fun.
I love it. Yes.
So I love America because you feel like, oh, you've seen this place before, because it's in so many movies that you're like, you feel like you're on a movie set. Like as an Australian, when I've been there, I'm like, when my friend came and visited me when I lived in New York, she's like, are these people for real? She thought they were actors.
Like, that is so funny.
Yeah. She's like, why? They're talking like so much like Americans.
Oh, because they are.
Yeah.
But it is really a matter of allowing yourself to explore what is fun.
Yeah.
And because we've grown so much, you know, like, what did you love doing when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And now you're not, like, you may have developed other interests as well, but some of the things that you did when you were a kid might have still been fun.
Yeah.
I got to see my dad when on this road trip. And we spent part of our afternoon together playing Scrabble.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Did you beat him?
He won. I came in second.
Yeah.
There were three of us playing. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was close though. It was close. It was really, we had really bad letters. It was not a great game. I mean, it was fun, but
Yeah, but it's all about the experience anyway.
Yes, and spending time together. So,
yeah. Wow, that sounds awesome. Yeah.
But fun is essential to your mental and physical health.
Mm.
And we consider it like an afterthought. And I think Americans are worse than anyone else in the world about this.
I think
because we are so conditioned to just work head down. Don't even think about having fun because that's irresponsible.
Yeah. I know, because Australians travel a lot more because we're so isolated over here. And also it's a part of our culture a bit too, you know, in our 20s to live overseas and then travel and do as much as we can before we come back and settle down, you know. But then I think Australians do love to go overseas. Like you might go overseas for a month or whatever, but whenever I came to America, they would always be very suspicious of me for like being away for longer than a week, you know, like
right. That was the crazy thing. People are like, you're taking a month off.
Yeah.
Like Europeans and Australians and other parts of the world, that's typical. They do it every year.
Yeah.
But here they were like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
A month. Like, have you lost your mind? How are you going to pay your bills?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're a rebel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So has this, yeah, how about with like clients or people that you work with or know, have they been, what kind of things have they been inspired to do for their own fun?
Yeah, exploring that.
Yeah.
I mean, exploring what is fun. My focus with them has been a little bit on that, but really more on the recognizing gratitude and practicing gratitude and giving them exercises and practices to help them be find more gratitude. You know, gratitude is, I think babies are born, they naturally have that higher vibration of being in love and in gratitude, and then it gets socialized out of us.
Yeah.
And so bringing people back to this place where they have the ability to find gratitude in every situation, even the ones that don't look like there is, there should be gratitude or that there could be gratitude for it. You know, your car breaks down, for example. And where's the gratitude in that? Well, yeah. You could find it in you were able to get to the side of the road safely, or that whatever the situation was, that it wasn't worse, that no one was hurt, that like there's a million different places where you could find gratitude.
Yeah.
If you look for it.
It's funny because my last podcast I recorded was about how my car got stuck on a wall last week. I drove to a wall and it got stuck.
Okay. It
was about how people helped me to get it off. And at first I was crying about it and
sure.
It was a stressful situation. But yes, I was ultimately very grateful for how people did help me to. Yeah. So I understand totally what you mean. But I guess growing up, I had the opposite problem of like, it was hard for me to sit in the pain of something happening. So I would immediately go to the, well, at least this didn't happen or at least that didn't happen. So for me, it's been a journey to sit in, like cry and sit in that pain about it and not know what's going to happen. And then to be surprised by the universe delivering like such kind people who help me. And yeah, so it's.
I think there's a difference between sitting in pain, like in that situation, there's no reason to not go immediately to gratitude. There's no real reason to sit in the pain of that.
Yeah.
I think what we were talking about earlier in terms of emotions and things are, you know, situations that are more, I'm thinking of like trauma or, you know, death or sad, like things that happen that, I don't know. I don't want to say that your car incident was trivial.
Yeah.
But things that are more really emotional, heavy baggage and sitting in those.
Yeah.
Versus moving to gratitude as quickly as you can for something that is really not life changing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about that situation, I was actually going for scans for like metastatic breast cancer. So that
oh my gosh.
So by how, like what I was crying about the car, but I was really like stressed about the other situation. So it was like that.
So therefore, there you are. Like, okay, let me process my emotions around being scared, being, uncertain about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Where and that right, was like, sitting in those emotions, but right. Okay. So now it makes more sense.
So that was what I was stuffing down. And then this thing happened with the car, then the emotions came up, you know? So
it's interesting how the universe provides you opportunities for that, huh?
Yeah. Very much. Yeah. And so nowadays, would you say that fun and pleasure is an important part of your manifesting process?
Absolutely. It is. Yeah. Finding and allowing yourself to have those experiences, because when you're in fun and pleasure, your vibration is so much higher.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal, is to live at that highest vibration. That's when you're most magnetic to all the good, happy, things coming into your life.
Yeah. Okay. And okay, some other advice on manifesting that I've heard is that not to put the desire on a pedestal, because then it's too far away from you. So it's like it needs to become kind of part of your identity, and so that it's just an easy step towards it.
Yeah, you know, we're all such works in progress. This is difficult because we're told to not have expectations. And I'm still working on how do you not have expectations? If you were, even in the most simple terms, like if you go to the food store, you expect them to have bread or fruit or something like that. But if you're supposed to walk around with no expectations, and you go there and just go, well, I'll just see what they have. Like, that doesn't seem realistic. And I know that's a very odd example, but not having expectations that people in your life are going to show up when you think they will.
Yeah.
Or that they are going to be kind or considerate of your feelings, or like, how do you not have expectations? How do you live without expectations? I'm still working on that.
Yeah. Yeah, because then there's the other advice that it's about what you say no to rather than what you say yes to in manifesting as well. So it's like, you know, it's a person who is, say, like, okay, Beyonce or someone like that, she's not saying yes to everything. She does have expectations of people that they are going to be at a certain standard, work at a certain level. And then it's not like you cannot just contact Beyonce and be like, do you want to be on my podcast? And she's yes, because then she won't have any time for those things that are going to actually further her career or be what's truly in alignment for her. So there is that, also that side of it as well, is like, what you do say no to is perhaps more important than what you say yes to.
I agree. It is very important to set boundaries. And this is where we come back to the importance of meditation. Because when you are practicing meditation on a regular basis, you are getting in touch with that inner voice that only you can hear, that only speaks to you. What is your inner voice telling you? And when you are clear on that, it's a lot easier to say hell yes or no way to opportunities that show up for you.
Yeah.
And to be okay doing it, not feel guilty, not say, I say no because you have no time, but say no because it's not in alignment with what you truly want or what your goals are or who you are. And then taking it even a step back further is knowing what your values are. And when you are clear on what your values are, it again makes it very easy to say no to anything that's not in alignment with it. Even if it sounds like it could be a great opportunity, not in alignment with your values, easy no.
Good. Yeah. And you mentioned guilt, feeling guilty there. I think that's a big one for women, especially. And you work with Gen Xers, and I mean, I'm 43, and I know for my friends as well that it's, guilt is a big thing, feeling guilty because you're doing something or not doing it.
Right. Because we want to be everything to everyone. And we sometimes get lost in that mix. We're not being true to ourselves.
Yeah.
So trying to give everything to everyone. And it comes back to that whole thing of when you're flying on an airplane, you know, put your own mask on first. You know, if in that whole, like, take care of yourself first before you can take care of anyone else. Because if you're not 100%, then you're not gonna have anything to give to anyone else.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it takes some work
It does take work,
potentially to work through that guilt and be okay with setting boundaries and saying no. And they might push back, but that's okay.
Yeah, it is a process, like you're saying, because and meditation definitely is something that, you're tuning in, because only you can be on your journey and not really know. And so, yes, you have to, as you said, listen in to your own inner voice, and meditation definitely is the way for that to happen.
Otherwise, it's too easy to get swallowed up in what everybody else wants you to think and say. You know, we live in a society now, you were talking earlier about social media. We're swayed by what we see on social media. We're swayed by what we hear and see in traditional media and the news. We have friends, we have colleagues, we have, you know, maybe somebody, a religious figures, whoever it is, they're all of these voices coming into our head, and they all have their own reasons for creating an agenda for you. And you are the only one who can say, stop, nope, I'm tuning into myself and I'm listening to what I need to do. And when you do that, it can be scary for people around you because they're like, well, wait a minute, she's not doing what I want.
That was part of my process. I mean, over the years that I had to, after reading Gabor Mate's When the Body Says No, and then he talks about that when you feel guilty, it's a good thing because you've done what you wanted to do. Whereas when you feel resentful, then you've betrayed yourself. So
That's good.
I reframed it then, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do what I want to do. And I went through a process of being quite like a bit hard on the people around me, where I was like stopping. I didn't want to ex have to explain myself anymore. Like, no, this is what I'm doing. No, I'm going away by myself. Yeah, I'm going away. Like, and just doing exactly what I wanted to do, and not having to even explain to people why I was doing it.
There's no explanation necessary. And no is a complete sentence. It's hard. It's difficult, especially in the beginning, because it feels uncomfortable and unfamiliar. And so anything that's new, and when you're implementing new habits, it can feel uncomfortable. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just not familiar. It feels different.
Yes, because then I went through that phase, and then I came back. Like, now I don't, if someone would, I wouldn't be so, abrupt about it, but I had to go through that process in order to
Right.
feel more comfortable with my decisions. And
Yeah.
yeah,
It
so
makes sense.
yeah, it's a journey.
Every life is a journey. This is what we go on. This is what we signed up for.
Yes, it is. And do you have a, how do you minimize the effect of social media on yourself or recommending to others?
I have cut down a lot on how much time I'm spending on social media, because you, social media literally is rewiring your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing that focusing on gratitude and practicing meditation does, is it rewires your brain neurochemically. It's creating new pathways
mm-hmm.
in your brain. Social media, if you've ever watched the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma,
yeah,
talks about how Silicon Valley and the social media companies are deliberately creating their platforms to suck up all your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not on the platform, they want to pull you onto it to spend mm-hmm. as much time there. That's why you get all the pop-ups on your phone
mm-hmm.
or when you're on the computer, it'll pop up and say, you know, so-and-so commented on your post. It's trying to get you back in there.
Yeah.
And so taking your the apps off your phone, which I haven't done, but just limiting your time there as much as possible. I'm not on all them. I'm on them, but I don't post regularly to them. I don't look at them. I might be on Instagram for 3 days at a time. Mm-hmm. And I go on and I'm like, oh, I missed 17 messages. Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I didn't watch The Social Dilemma, but I did learn some years ago when I was going through my hard times about how they have algorithms to cause slight anxiety,
yes.
so
yes.
that you will keep on, like, they won't deliver all your likes, and then so that you keep on checking, and you're like,
yep.
"How was liking my post?" You know, and then
it's very manipulative.
Yeah,
and when you realize that, or even if you don't, like, just. And you don't feel good when you come out of social media, because what we were talking about, like, you're comparing yourself to everybody else whose lives look way more amazing.
Yeah.
So why are we spending time somewhere that doesn't make us, that makes us feel bad? And I say makes us, nothing makes us. We choose to feel however we feel, but we're allowing it to affect our emotions. It's ridiculous when you start really thinking about it. So limiting your time there and recognizing it for what it is.
Yes. So I definitely don't have notifications from the apps on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I have a set time every day that I will look at. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll do my posting mostly.
And right.
Yeah. And then also that having to be in the right frame of mind, that, like, you know, I'm in a positive frame of mind. So then when I look at it, I feel inspired rather than... Mm-hmm. been taken down a rabbit hole, you know, so that's my, how I handle it personally.
It's about being deliberate with it, intentional. And this is, I think, the whole of what we've been talking about today is about how can you be more intentional with your attention.
Yeah.
Instead of just allowing anything to pull at you and pull your attention this way and that way, how can you intentionally focus on what serves you?
Yes. And how would you say for someone who wanted to, what would you say for someone who wanted to have a meditation practice? What are some, you know, a lot of people say, oh yeah, I would like to do meditation, or they do it, you know, once or twice and then they stop. So what are your tips for having a good daily meditation practice?
One is recognizing that it is not the same for everyone. So what works for me might not work for you. Find what works for you and don't give up really easily. Because the benefits are so enormous. But for some people, so what I recommend for people who are just starting out, I think it's really beneficial to do a guided meditation. So you're listening to somebody's voice. So it's when the thoughts, and I say when, because it's not if, it's when the thoughts start going around in your head, you can pull yourself back to your breathing, to the sound of the meditation teacher's voice, to the music, whatever it is, you can refocus yourself back into the meditation. Start with 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be an hour.
Mm.
Start with whatever works for you. And it doesn't have to be seated on the ground, legs crossed, you know, sitting for hours. Mm. Again, what works for you? Some people prefer lying down. Some people prefer sitting. Some people do better with a walking meditation. Mm. And again, it's what works for you. And that requires some experimentation. But there's an app called Insight Timer that I recommend. I have no vested interest in it. I don't have an affiliate. I don't have any, I just love it and use it myself all the time.
Yeah.
So Insight Timer is a great one. And just start doing it. Experiment with times of day. I prefer to do it in the morning before I get out of bed. Mm-hmm. So my day, I'm setting the intention for my day. Some people find it better to do it at lunchtime or before they go to sleep. Again, what works for you? This is there's a whole buffet for people to choose from. So take what works and leave the rest of it.
Okay. Good advice. And as we are coming to the conclusion of our conversation, so what would you like to share with the listeners and anything you've got going on and how they can find you and have more of your advice and expertise?
Yeah, the best place to find me is at my website, which is zenrabbit.com. And from there, you can find the links to my social media, my podcast, all that good stuff. But yeah, that's the best place. One place to find Zen Rabbit. There's a lot of resources there. Mm-hmm. I have a free 6-minute gratitude meditation that I create. I also create my own meditations for people. So to download that free 6-minute gratitude meditation, that's a great place to start meditating too, because it's short. And it's really good. I mean, that's what people tell me. So,
Okay. Well, that's perfect. So we'll leave all the links in the show notes as well, so the listeners can find you through that easily. And thank you so much, Laurie. It's been so wonderful to be in conversation with you today and hear your perspective and your experience on all of these interesting topics on manifesting with gratitude and meditation. So thank you.
Good conversation. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.